Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. It's going to be hot. It's going to be breezy today. So let's get it. And what else? Oh, coming up next segment. I don't know how long I've got him on. Maybe the rest of the show. Who knows? Dr. Richard Prather, the new dean for the OSU School of Veterinary Medicine, is going to be on. Talk about his new appointment coming up starting in June. So we got that coming up. Really excited to talk to him. Let's check out some temperatures first in western Oklahoma and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. 83 degrees at Hollis. That's the hottest spot in state of Oklahoma right now. 80 at Hobart. 77 at Cheyenne, home of Cash Daddy. 77 at Sealing. 79 at the May Ranch. 79 at Slapout. 78 out at Boise City. And I would just being nosy, and I look, and that cold front is hitting into the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle. It's not showing it by the temperatures yet, but it's coming. The winds are out of the north there, and in Oklahoma, all the winds are out of the southwest. So, and I guess that dry line is going to form later on. If we got severe weather in our neighborhood out here, we'll be on live on the radio to inform you guys of any tornadoes or any severe weather coming up. So remember that tonight when that dry line decides to develop there. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, 84 at Lipscomb, 84 at Miami, 85 at McLean, and 86 at Wellington. I was listening to Jared's news there. You know, there's been like 3, 4, 5 cases of turkey hunters getting caught this year in Oklahoma. A couple, 2 or 3 of them out here and some over there around the city and up in the northeast part of it. And I read on social media where they were talking about they need to make non-residents draw to get into the state, blah, blah, blah. Heck no. Let them keep coming in here. And it's not only just non-residents. It's I'm sure there's a resident or two in there, but let's see, I think that's 5, maybe 6 non-resident calls that we've got. Can anybody hang on here?
Hello. Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello. There we go. I guess that's something's going on. I don't know what's going on there. But
what'd you do to fix it?
I just turned that button up there a little bit longer, but it's still not great. I don't know what's going on there. Let me turn that thing up all the way. Okay, boss up there in Woodward, what's it sound like now?
It's good there.
Yeah, there we go. All right, back to the news. But anyway, let those non-residents just keep shooting turkeys illegal. Think all the money the wildlife department's making off those fines and confiscating those shotguns and stuff. There was 3 or 4 boys from Nebraska come down in there somewhere in northeastern Oklahoma on a senior trip for a turkey hunt, and they got caught near an oil field location. I guess the pumper was watching them and they were shooting. First, they shot a hen off the road and said, uh-oh, they threw it in a bar ditch. And then they shot the tom and got him, but they still got caught. Let it roll. I mean, really, a turkey? You're willing to risk your pickup, your shotgun, $2,000 to $3,000 in fines over a turkey? Come on. Let's do something different there. So, all right, enough about the turkeys. Let's see here. What else we got going on here? I'm going to go ahead and give you, since I got Dr. Prather coming on here pretty quick. I'm going to go ahead and give you an update on some auctions. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for some good replacement heifers, there's about 300 of them that I looked at Saturday that's going to sell here in a little bit over at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. I'm just guessing they're somewhere between $7.75 and $8.25 on the average. They're all blacks and black baldies. There was a few reds in there, but most of them were blacks. But there was some black baldies in there and stuff. They weren't implanted. They've been taken care of, and they look really good. So if you're looking for some, you might hurry up and get over to Western Oklahoma or call Brandon and tell him you want some. They're really nice. And okay, you're welcome. I don't know what's going on with the board, but you might give Brandon a call, or if you got a buyer over there that you know is over at Western Oklahoma today, you're looking for some really nice heifers. These are top. Calm. They've never seen it. Say, I can honestly tell you they've never seen a sack of cake. They've been used to the old cake feeder on the back of the truck, but it didn't take them long to catch on to that sack of cake that I fed them. I wanted to look at them. And so anyway, pretty nice ones. So there's 300 of them over there selling at Western Oklahoma right now. If you want to, all raised by, taken care of by local rancher here. So check it out. All right. Oklahoma Weekly Cattle Auction Summary. Total receipts, 33,626 compared to 31,000 last week. Or 34,000 last week, sorry. And 20,000 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers over 800 pounds was $5 to $10 higher. Under 800, steady to $5 lower. Feeder heifers, $4 to $10 higher. Steer calves, mostly steady. Heifer calves, $2 to $6 higher. Demand was moderate to good, with mid to late week sales showing very good demand. When cash slaughter trade hit 255 and 400 in the meat, demand for feeders went through the roof. Grass accounts have definitely been filled as lighter weight feeders cheapen up. More unweaned calves continue to come to town, and demand moderate to good for these. Weather was 90 on Monday, only to drop into the 60s the next day, and these conditions can be detrimental for those calves. Slaughter cows, mostly steady, except lean cows, sold $8 higher. Slaughter bulls, $6 higher. Packer demand was good, especially for those leaner types, as packers continue to compete for replacement feeder buyers for those cows. Supply was 93% heifers, or feeders. Slaughter made up 4% of it, and replacement cattle was about 3% of it. Out here in Texas, let's see what we got going on out here. Total receipts through the sale barn was 5,083 compared to 5,670 the week before and 5,900 a year ago. Feeder cattle made up 85.8% of them. Slaughter cattle made up 9%. And replacement cattle around 5.5%. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were $2 to $10 higher. Demand was good. CME cattle futures climbed higher throughout the week and negotiated cash cattle trade at record prices. And I think that's one of the reasons why the board's down today pretty good, because of these records. It was 255 to 256. Chance for much needed rain going into Friday. Supplies is already did that one. So that was the report from the sale barns in Texas and Oklahoma last week. What else we got going on? Well, let's just check the board here real quick, and then I won't have to do it when I get Dr. Prather on. All right, let's start out with the grains. Current board is right now Kansas City wheat, May 678, down 4. July is 694, no change. Wheat out of Chicago, May 630, up 5.5. July 639, up 1.75. Corn, May 473, up 5.25. July is 485, up 5. And then what do we got? Soybeans, May 1208, up 21. July is 1222, up 19. Soybean oil, May 77, 72, up 107, and soybean meal, May, 322.60, up 180, July's 321.80, up 250, oats for May, 335, unchanged. All right, livestock, let's see what's happening here. A lot of red on this board today. July lives, June, 250, 40, up down 260, August is down 277 at 245.05, feeders for May, 365.30, up down 610. August is 365.02, down 715. Hogs are down for May at 91.80, down 102. And let's see what cotton's doing real quick. Then I need to go. I got to go to break. Cotton, July, 83.07, down 112. And oil and natural gas, see what's happening there. Oil is up 368 at 105.62, and natural gas is June, 288, up 10. So getting back close to that $3. Should be there by the, hopefully, the end of the day today. All right, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. So let's take an OCA break, and we'll be right back.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op Gin, 720 South Main, Elk City, 225-0191. Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like, is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 17. 1,728 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 479 brought 547.50. 3 at 492 brought 512.50. 8 at 523 brought 470. 7 at 675 brought 372.50. 10 at 682 brought 416. 28 at 812 brought 370. 10 head of heifers at 385 brought 530. 19 at 449 brought 477.50. 4 at 506 brought 445, 8 at 533 brought 422.50, 5 at 702 brought 346, 44 at 792 brought 332, butcher cows
125 to 184, butcher bulls 155 to 235, bred cows 1700 to 4800, pairs brought 1750 to 5000. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's see here. Let's check out some temperatures out here in the Texas Panhandle real quick. Lipscomb, 85. Heat index of 82. Humidity's 13. Dew point's 29. And the winds are out of the northwest at 14 with wind gust up to 31. No red flag minutes. No sub-freezing minutes. But, hey, that could change come this Thursday morning. There's chances of snow up there in the Oklahoma and the northern part of the Texas Panhandle. And it might be some freezing going on in northwestern Oklahoma. So get those tomatoes wrapped up. 8-inch soil temperature, 67 degrees. And this was Weather Update, was brought to you by the Lipscomb Auto Group here in Elk City and Sayre. Well, I haven't slept for 4 days knowing that I was going to have this gentleman on the show with me today, and welcome to the show, Dr. Prather.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it, Jimmy.
Oh, cool. I didn't know if you'd already bypassed the small guys and was heading to the big media yet, but I got you, didn't I? Well, luckily I got friends in low places up here around Shattuck to get me hooked up with you, so. Hey, first of all, congratulations for your appointment as the Dean of College Veterinary and Medicine at OSU. Are you excited?
Very excited. It's a wonderful opportunity, and we're just we feel really privileged and blessed to have this come our way.
Oh, I mean, so who is Dr. Richard Prather?
Well,
hey, I only want the good stuff. I only want the good stuff.
I am a second-generation veterinarian. My father had a veterinary practice down in southern Oklahoma, a little town about the size of Canute, probably, a little town called Temple, Oklahoma, on the south side of Lawton, just near the Red River, and he was a veterinarian. And tragically, we lost him at a young age, and we moved to Elk City, where my grandparents on my mother's side lived, and I was raised in the wonderful community of Elk City. There was a lot of really good veterinary support. Dr. Hunt, that used to be out there by Ackley Park and the old Flamingo restaurant,
yep,
took me in, and he was my first veterinary job mucking out kennels. And then
I forgot all
Dr.
about
Andy
him.
Rule and Jimmy Fox took me in after that and helped get me ready. And I'd never thought about anything else except being a veterinarian.
And
that's basically who I am.
Yeah, I forgot about him there next to the Flamingo. Man, that's been a while.
Kind of telling my age.
Yeah, because you graduated in 1978. Just to let you guys know, I get this text message from this doctor last night about 8:30 or 9 saying, hey, look, who's on the top most 10 wanted list in Elk City? And you sent me a picture of my what would have been my sophomore year in high school. So but no, it's a small world. I'm so happy for you. And so you went to OSU, I'm guessing, to be vet school. Where'd you meet Angie?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Where did you meet Angie at? When did that all come about? Because she's a vet too.
She is. Dr. Angie and I was in my second year, and she was in her first year, and we met in the lobby of McElroy Hall. And it was history after that. We got married between her third year and my fourth year.
I got you. And then there's a, let's see here. So you guys went to vet school. What happened after vet school?
She still had a year to complete when I graduated, obviously, and then I moved to Shattuck, and we had a prolonged honeymoon because we only saw each other every other weekend at best, sometimes only once a month for that first year of our marriage. And we went to work for a really great practitioner out here. He was just a great people person, a really good scientist, and he had established a wonderful clientele here in his hometown of Shattuck. And when Angie graduated, she joined us, and the three of us practiced here for several years. And then Dr. Kirkpatrick retired from private practice, and he went back to Oklahoma State. In just a few years, he became the director of the teaching hospital and did a lot of really great research for the farmers and ranchers in this area that was practical and useful. I can put this to work tomorrow kind of information for our producers out here. So it was a great mentor, a great place to learn, and then it's been a great place to raise a family. We raised our twin daughters here, and we've been here for 40 years. Wouldn't even think about going anywhere else until this opportunity came along.
Oh, wow. No, yeah, that's great. So, Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine, what's your job description there? I mean, there's a little bit of common sense to it, but there's more to it than just being a dean.
Well, right now, the people of Oklahoma, thanks to the efforts of some really good administration at Oklahoma State University, President Hess, the Regents, Regent Harrell, and just a whole host of people put together a tremendous opportunity to build an entirely new veterinary college teaching hospital. It'll be out there on the west side of Stillwater, and our goal is to make that a world-class, a premier veterinary teaching hospital in the States.
Well, you're going to get, what are they, probably a year or two away from really actually starting construction yet?
It will be. You know, yeah. There's a lot to the design phase in order to get it right. We only get one shot at this.
Right.
We really want to make sure that we put together the right number of teams, the right people on those teams. They're already quite a ways into the design with the administration and with faculty from within the hospital, and they're doing a great job. We'll continue that to get the design right. And I would imagine that the design phase might take as much as 18 months or slightly longer. And then there's all the technical aspects of getting the site ready, and it'll be a while before we turn any dirt.
So could a guy possibly do a sponsorship for the new school to get his name on the front of the building?
Now, say that again. You were breaking up.
Oh, I don't know what's going on here. I said, can you hear me better there? Can you hear
me?
One
more time, sorry.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
There we go. All right. What is it? Can a guy do like a sponsorship, like they do these big sports arenas, and maybe get his name on the front of that building that you're building?
Well, actually, the people of Oklahoma the taxpayers of Oklahoma have already funded it, but I'm sure there'll be lots of additional necessities that we would be more than happy to put people's names on.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll throw in some money for a new hydraulic chute, so.
That'd be great.
No, I'm just kidding. One of the students from out here that's actually in her first year at vet school from out here, she helps Dr. Mouse down here at Stockman's. I've been giving her crap that they're going to name that building after her. So you'll probably get to meet her when you go up there. So if you've seen a girl named Madison Dusak, you give her heck. She's really sharp and a hard worker. So she's from down here at Elk City.
Dr. Mouse did one of her internships with us. I'm very familiar with her. Her father and I worked as we cleaned stalls and washed floors at Stockman's together back when we were together.
Oh, cool. It's a small world, isn't it?
It is.
It's a very small world. What, besides building the new medical facilities, what's going to be your main role as the dean of veterinary medicine?
Well, obviously the students are first. We want to build them a world-class brick-and-mortar place to learn, but it's their education, and it's the preparation that they need to be able to serve the people of Oklahoma that is of utmost priority in what our duties are. Everything from curriculum to how we organize their time out with other practitioners and practical preceptors or internships, the amount of exposure they get, hands-on experience, those are the kind of things that we try to organize to have the best entry-level veterinarians that are practice-ready, capable of meeting the needs of the people of Oklahoma.
Well, there was a conversation I had with a person here a few years ago. As a matter of fact, it was one of the kids was going into vet school at OSU. And I don't know if it's changed, and I don't know what your knowledge is on this particular story, but, you know, what is there, 33, if I remember right, 32 or 33 veterinarian schools in the United States. Am I pretty close, you think?
Yes, that's really close. And then there's several more that are coming online that are, they don't have teaching hospitals. They just farm them out to different veterinary practices around the country to do their clinical work. And yes, the solid brick and mortar all the way through schools, there's just over 30.
Right. Okay. But she made the statement to me that kind of caught my attention, that some of the schools, I don't remember if it was Colorado or Texas A&M or whoever it was, or K-State or whatever, but some of the vet schools had different levels of curricular stuff that wasn't recognized at one school but recognized at this one and all that. Is that going to be one of the things that we need to get all the vet schools in the United States on the same level, or is that even possible?
It is. That all of the veterinary colleges, whether they're a distributive model or whether a more traditional in-house model, they all are responsive to the American Veterinary Medical Association, and specifically within it is the Council on Education. And they're accredited by that COE, just like all the professional schools, dental, medical, pharmaceutical, et cetera. There's certain standards, and then those standards are what set them up so that when the students graduate, they're capable of passing the national exam or the respective state where they choose to practice.
Right. Yeah. That just kind of caught my attention. Now to another subject about veterinarians, as you well know as anybody, here it seems like in the last decade we're losing some of our big animal vets, not so much on the small animal, but on our, because being, you know as well as anybody, being a big animal vet is hard on your body. And it seems like more and more, especially in the last year, I see news items come across some of my national email updates that the seem like they're putting a little more attention on retaining big animal vets.
There is. That's why the Texas Tech expanded into Amarillo with the veterinary college there, and Kansas State and Colorado State. All the land-grant universities are really trying to focus on the rural veterinary shortage. The Oklahoma State and the Farm Journal Foundation cooperated along with the help of Secretary Arthur and others from the State Department, did a really great in-depth survey of Oklahoma. And right now there's over 600 veterinarians that are at or approaching retirement in the next 10 years in the state of Oklahoma alone.
Wow.
And if you do the math on that, right now we have 110 veterinarian students coming out of Oklahoma State to fill 600 empty positions. And of those empty positions, another one of our professional organizations did a survey because of what you were mentioning about rural practice being a lot more work, physically demanding kind of work, that more than half of those entry-level veterinarians that come out into rural practice leave rural practice within the first 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not good math.
No, them numbers don't add up very good at all. And it's not. And I mean, I know there's some cities. I've heard of a couple of cities out here in Western Oklahoma offering some really good deals to get some vets to come to their town and on a long-term plan, help paying for building their college and all this. And it still doesn't seem like that it didn't. I know of one city out here real close to where I am right now. Nobody bid on it. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do, Doc?
You know, it's tough. You know, if you look at Mangum, where Dr. Stone used to be,
yes,
nobody has filled that practice. And here's the dilemma that the veterinary schools are facing is the level of information that's out there now and the expectations that the clients deserve and anticipate is that the veterinarians will be able to fill each of those responsibilities with a high level of expertise. So if you go to a town like Mangum and you're the only game in town and you are responsible for beef, cow, calf, you're responsible for horses, you're responsible for dogs, cats, rabbits, and so on, that's a tremendous load. And the vet schools have to be able to prepare people for that kind of responsibility.
Yeah, that's a big load. And, you know, I know I see on social media the late nights or during them or on the weekend or holidays, you know, that, hey, I need a vet. I need to get my cat or whatever to the deal, you know, because you guys, veterinarians, are all normal human beings. And the vet side, the animal side is way different than the human side. You don't have a hospital running 24/7, nurses in there and doctors taking shifts in there. You're just one person. And I bet you and, Dr. Angie have ran into that a lot in 40 years where I couldn't get a hold of you. You know, I mean, it's a heck of a job to fulfill.
We have, you know, there's probably been close to half of those 40 years that Dr. Angie and I did not have associates working with us. And you have to really figure out, there's no such thing as a work-life balance. That's a myth. What you have to figure out is an equilibrium. And you learn how to do it. Our children were successful. They enjoyed our family life as well as still getting a good education. And you just figure out how to make it all work. And that requires a pretty good work ethic. And I guess that's where I would compliment Elk City Public Schools. Back in the day, if you remember the people we had in junior high, we had Mrs. Dobson in seventh grade math. We had Mrs. Red for science. We had Bill Hubbard for geometry.
Don't forget Mrs. Jordan in typing.
That's right. And we had, as a matter of fact, her Mrs. Jordan's son-in-law, veterinarian in Elk City now.
Yes.
And then, who could forget Mr. Thompson and the way that he taught science? Who could not really enjoy science the way Jerry Thompson taught science? And then there was Mrs. Bullard and Mrs. Newland and Mrs. Kirk. They had us ready to enter a system the size and the magnitude of Oklahoma State and compete and be successful there.
You're right.
You were saying, if you look at all the people that have come out of Elk City and gone through Oklahoma State, they were successful because we had really great mentors that encouraged us to work hard, and they were able to get out of us what we didn't really want to give.
Yeah, and you know, you said Mr. Thompson. I forgot about him. He was so big and intimidating. You listened. So
he is 10 feet tall in my books, always will be.
Yeah.
I really credit our...
Yeah, he was
a great science teacher.
And then if I would have listened to Mrs. Jordan, because she did accounting also, and, you know, we did those mock runs of buying stock off the New York Exchange, and if I would have bought stock back when I was a junior in high school, like I did for the class project. I did IBM. That's when computers, I mean, we just barely got into electric typewriters when I was in school. If I'd have actually bought that IBM stock, me and you wouldn't be talking today. but we had people like that
the vet school needs. We still need those kind of contacts. We need those high school counselors, and we need those science and math teachers that see the students that want to go on and develop into a professional career and help us with recruiting. That with the numbers I showed you on the deficiencies that we're facing and the retirements that we're facing, wow, the recruiting is probably going to be one of our biggest responsibilities going forward as the College of Veterinary Medicine. That as dean, we've got to be intentional and dedicate a lot of resources to recruitment.
Yes, and there's going to be some unreal packages offered by some of the cities to get a big animal or just get a vet back into their town, because I think the vet at Cheyenne's retired. You mentioned the one at Mangum. They've got a couple of them at Hobart, which Hobart's blessed to have a couple of veterinarians there. And, you know, we've got three big animal vets here in Elk City and a more small animals. And so it's, yeah, and I'm just going to let you know right here, anytime you need me to do something on the show to help you guys with recruitment or talk about what's going on, you have my number now, and I'd be more than glad to bring it on and push it as hard as I can.
Well, we will be taking you up on that, I promise you.
Hey, so this
Thank
is...
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is great. It's been great talking to you, and I wish you and your wife the best of luck headed up to Stillwater, and... I don't know that you know this, but I am an OU fan, but I'm all about OSU vet schools. So don't you worry about that. So
we won't hold that against you.
Yeah, no, that's it.
What good is a rivalry without a worthy adversary?
Yeah, that's what I mean, because I don't know how many people has come up to me. Why did they hire OU fan to do an ag show? I said, I don't know. So it's just one of those deals that it's great. And when I seen that come across my wire there that night, I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, I need to get him on. I need to talk about this. This is great news. A lot going on at Stillwater with, you know, the new brick and mortar, as you call it, and a shortage of vets. And so you're going to have your hands full.
It'll be fun. We got a lot of great people.
Yes, it will. All right. Dr. Richard Prather, he's going to be the new dean at the College of Veterinary Medicine in Stillwater at Oklahoma State University. He's from up here at Shattuck, him and his wife, Dr. Angie, as he calls him also, Dr. Angie Prather. And I guess she's going over there with you. Is this correct?
Say again?
She's going over there also with you.
Yes. She'll still manage our practice. I have to leave the practice, but she's still going to manage the practice. And we have three out of this world veterinarians that are just doing a hitting it out of the park job to keep this practice going and continue to serve the people of Ellis and Lipscomb and Roger Mills counties.
Awesome. All right. Well, Dr. Prather, I want you to have a wonderful day, and it was great talking with you.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Jimmy.
All right. Thanks. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break, and we'll be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Most of your farm equipment has cylinders. Sometimes they know what's the matter with it. If it's leaking, they'll bring it in. If they just need a seal kit, you tear it completely apart. Replace all the rubber goods that's in the cylinder. Well, my name is Roy Jones, and everybody in Elk City knows me by Bird. And this is Camrock Supply, Elk City, Oklahoma.
It's 2111 South Main, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
I've known them guys for years and years, and they know what I'm capable of doing.
You put your equipment through the ringer, and you do it in extreme weather out here. Parts that don't last aren't worth a dime. Gates hydraulic hoses are designed for high pressure use, They keep going when the others fall apart. They're also flexible, so they're easy to handle and they're easy to install in tight spaces. Did you know that Napa Auto Parts does customized hydraulic hoses, all Gates hydraulics? Well, guess what? Now you know. Gates hydraulic hoses at Napa in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton, because you need parts that withstand the pressure.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and your back.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. We're excited to announce we are now a dealer for TerraPlex Ag drones. These drones are American built. And of course, we have the best feed and minerals for your livestock, along with our SPIZ ProGrow lawn fertilizer and pasture and range herbicides. Remember, we sell to Texas customers as well and welcome your business. Stop by or give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for the latest updates and information.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm trying to get my levels right today. Me and the level deal's not getting along real well. Let's check out some weather. Ag weather, that is, up in northwestern Oklahoma, brought to you by the Lipscomb Auto Group here in Elk City and Sayre, America. Slap out, 84 degrees, dew points 34, humidity 17, the winds are out of the northwest at 10. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil, temperature 70 degrees, sunset at 8:31, mostly cloudy and 89 today. West winds 10 to 12 tonight. The winds will be coming up out of the north at from 9 to 15, 50 degrees, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, 62 for a high, 27 degrees difference than today. North winds, northeast wind 16 to 20 with wind gusts up to 30. Let's check out the fire report. Now, I know they had a big fire up there somewhere around in Woodward County, somewhere. I can't remember where it was. It was a controlled burn from the day before that end up flaring back up and getting out of control. There's the deal. Talking about control burns, prescribed burns, or just wildfires. That's what happens, you know. I'm just throwing this out there. Anytime you can, you need to use prescribed fires. When they do prescribed fires, there's a prescription wrote for that fire. There's things in place already out there before the fire even starts, and you don't have to call 911. unless it's just a bad one. And it's very rare that prescribed for burns get out of fire. I'm not saying anything bad about people that do control burns. It's just one of those deals that prescribed burns will save you. Texas and Cimarron counties in Oklahoma are still under a county burn ban as of my showtime. County commissioners have meetings on today's and tomorrow. I don't know if anything's going to change. And yeah, that was called the Hog Farm Fire in Woodward County. There you go. So the outlook, according to the Department of Ag, Forestry Department Division, extreme drought continues, focus across western Oklahoma, and the current 7-day precipitation forecast does not look good. I was looking at it, the next 10 days really doesn't look good, but according to the forestry department, so where there is uncertainty in the forecast later this week, it appears the highest fire danger indices will occur today, and we are under a fire weather watch only, not red flag warning. So today may be the worst day this week, according to here. But dry conditions on Thursday are expected to boost fire danger in western Oklahoma, although wind speeds are low, moderating fire spread potential. So that's a good thing. It's hurricane, it's May. March and April are hurricane season in Oklahoma. So May, man, hopefully this things will change and we'll get some good outlook on rain. Again, I'm excited. Dr. Richard Prather from Shattuck is going to be the new dean of veterinary medicine at the Oklahoma State University. Lots of good things to look out for. He starts his job June 30th, I believe. So, yeah, June 30th is what it says right here. So it's all good. All right, first thing that popped up on my Texas and Southwestern Cattle Association deal is, guess what? Cattle thieves, hot checks, the whole nine yards. So here's one of them that I'm going to share with you. A Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association Special Rangers investigation in coordination with the Colorado County Sheriff's Office has resulted in the arrest of Cody Chance Moore, also known as Cody Perry, 34. Moore turned himself in April 29th on outstanding warrants for theft of livestock and theft, both second-degree felonies. Authorities allege Moore sold stolen cattle under his name involved in the theft of a check related to cattle sales during the investigation. See here, they gathered in. So he surrendered himself and was taken into custody on those warrants. So the investigation is ongoing still. One more thing here. Where's that one at? Yes, multi-county investigation leads to arrest and livestock theft check fraud cases. Ben Lee Johnson, 65, of Montauban, I guess how you say that, I don't know how you say it, was arrested on felony charges following investigations by Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raiser Association Special Rangers into livestock theft and issuance of non-sufficient fund check. The case began back in August of 25, when TSCRA Special Ranger Mike Boone received a report that Johnson failed to pay for cattle purchases total $221,730.20 at a local auction barn. Johnson was arrested in November of 2025. Following the arrest, a Jasper County grand jury indicted him for theft of livestock March 16th. That didn't take long. A second investigation was initiated in 2026 by another special ranger. Authorities alleged Johnson issued another non-sufficient check, hot check, for $31,629 at a livestock auction in Northeast Texas. He failed to remit payment after receiving a former demand. Investigators determined Johnson continued to buy and sell cattle at other auction barns while failing to pay outstanding debts. Whew, so that's ongoing too. All right, let's take our last Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break and we'll be right back.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
A good education is much more than a technical knowledge of algebra, English, history, literature, arts, and sciences. It also challenges students to learn to think, to analyze the problems at hand, and to search for the right solutions. The members of the class of 2026 are ready to put their education to work, and we offer them our best wishes for success in the years ahead.
Graduates, may truth be your guiding light, and may you always be a light to the world. North Fork Electric Co-op wishes you all the best. North Fork Electric Co-op in Sayre.
They're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets him up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oilfield customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? American Hose and Supply, 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's.
Or call 303-1123. 303-1123.
Why wouldn't you?
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I have insurance, so I don't need an EMS membership, right?
Actually, you can still benefit from a Signer EMS membership. If you have a large deductible or a copayment, your Signer EMS membership will cover those out-of-pocket costs. Even if you don't have insurance, your ambulance bill will be cut in half if you're a member. Sign up today at SignerEMS.com. SignerEMS.com.
A hailstorm has rained down additional savings on all of our new and pre-owned inventory at Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City, so you can get big hail sale discounts right now. This is a real savings opportunity for you as a buyer, and on most vehicles, the dents are barely visible. Choose from hundreds of Chevys and GMCs with potentially thousands in added hail sale savings. And you can either have our dent doctor work his magic or just drive away with even greater hail sale discounts. Only at Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City and at LipscombChevroletGMC.com while they last. Good people, great hail sale deals available now.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. All right, Fort Cobb, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. 81 degrees, dew points 52, humidity's 37, winds are out of the south-southwest at 16 with wind gusts up to 23. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 70 degrees, sunset at 8:21, 10% slight chance of thunderstorms a day, 93 for a high. Tonight, 10% slight chance of thunderstorms, 60 for a low. Tomorrow, 73 for a high with west to north winds 9 to 16 with gusts up to 25. So that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for the big corner of southwestern Oklahoma. All right. What else did I have here real quick? Oh, man, my brain just went foggy. Where's it going? It's not a good story, but I've emphasized it a few times, and he messaged me yesterday, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, and he said, man, I don't agree with you 100% of the time, but I agree now to test your bulls. I have one registered blah, blah, blah bull I put with my heifers last year, should have been calving now, but aren't. I palpated. I went to only two of the 11 were bred. And so, just fair warning out there again. It's no big deal. We've all been there. Hopefully not everybody's experienced it like this gentleman, but a lot of people's already turned their bulls in with their herds. Some haven't. They're going to do it this month. Please make an appointment with your vet and go get your bulls tested. It'll be the cheapest morning you spend all year. And because 9 months later or 6 months later, that's not the best way to find out when your cattle aren't bred. So please get your bulls tested. Not a big one. Not a big deal at all. All right. I got a lot to do. I got to go get some hydraulic oil. I got to go to the NRCS office. I got to take the dog to the vet. All kinds of things going on this afternoon. You guys have a wonderful evening. I will see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless everybody.